All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Pursuit of Relentless podcast. You have your host, Elena. And today I have a treat for you, a local BC person as well. So I'm like, hey, we're like super close together. And I love that because it's been a long time since I've been able to get in front of someone who's actually like doing the right things in their business and like trying to change people's lives. So Di Emanuel, thank you for being here today.
Elena, thank you. It's an honor to be here. And it was so funny, you know, us chatting before we hit record today, we've got some mutual connections, some mutual friends. Hey, Ben, hey, Lane, you're listening to this. I just think it's what a small world it is, right? I just love that. I love that. An honor to be here today. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so cool to just be like, oh, yeah, I'm in business with these guys. And they've been huge mentors of mine. And one of the biggest reasons that I was moving back here is because of Ben Spangle. And I got an opportunity to interview him on my podcast a little while ago. And when he started The Pursuit, his podcast, I was just like, man, I want to learn from this guy. Like, it's so cool to just be able to learn and grow from other people. Right. So it's going to be a good conversation. So I'd love to start with is your story through entrepreneurship. So like what got you into being an entrepreneur? And maybe you can tell people a little bit about what you do and how you help people.
Well, I'm 47 years young this week, and I'm not even at halfway yet. So, there's still lots of life and lots of mistakes to make. I've just been fortunate that with the mistakes I've made, I've had opportunities to learn from those, you know, and I think that's what we all strive to do, right? So we're not doomed to repeat those same mistakes again and again. But when I think about entrepreneurship, I fumbled the ball a few times, you know, and I probably will continue to fumble the ball. But I think that's something that us as entrepreneurs, once you really accept that mindset, it's just part of being an entrepreneur. It's part of scaling, growing a business. There's going to be those down days. But if we're good at working on our natural resiliency, you know, individually speaking, you know, as an entrepreneur, we can handle the hard situations and bounce back from them more quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really where the health piece comes in, which I know we're going to sort of cover today, because without health, it's really hard to sustain anything. Okay. Like it doesn't matter who you are. We don't need to get into an argument over this because I think everybody's in agreement. Yeah. Without our health, it's pretty hard to do anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking holistic health, you know, financial, spiritual, emotional, psychological, and especially physical, right? Mm-hmm. But my journey, you know, when I think about it, when I was a kid, because we often, you know, just as human beings, we learn through mentorship and modeling. And when I think back to my childhood days, especially my teenage years, you know, watching my parents, in particular, my mom, you know, both my parents were professionals. My dad was a vet. He had a vet practice with a business partner, you know, straight out of university as a young vet. They opened up their own practice. And, you know, a lot of people would think or comment, he passed a number of years ago, but before my dad passed, you know, he worked every day. Like you were talking about balance, right? Well, no, my dad was like, he loved his work so much. To him, it wasn't working. But from outsiders, they'd think he was a workaholic. You know, So great work ethic, very successful, but he spent a lot of his life to working on that, to make it that success. Right. My mom on the flip side, an RN, registered nurse, went back to school after my parents separated and divorced. Because she's like, oh, I got to look after these two boys now, you know, like my brother and I, and she's like, I got to level up my education. So she went back to school, got her master's so she could start earning more, move into more of a more leadership capacity role. But at the same time, the entire time while she's doing that, for as long as I can remember, my mom's always had a side hustle. Always. Like always. She, you know, I'm talking, she had an antique store. She had not Airbnb, sorry, bed and breakfast. Airbnb, great branding, right? We just call that whole category Airbnb, but a bed and breakfast. She also had a interior design business. The list goes on. She just always had a side hustle. That was my exposure to entrepreneurship, you know, from an early age. So when I started to get into health and fitness after going through my own change, similar to your journey, you know, very similar. I was morbidly obese as a teenager, but come 15, I decided to make some changes that were very health focused. By 17, I had released all that weight, developed this new healthy lifestyle, but also had people coming to me now saying, hey, Di, whoa, do you think you could help me with losing a little bit of weight? You know, and these are like friends of my parents.
Right.
You know, I'm 17 years old. You know, these people are like twice my age, right? Twice my senior. and they're coming to me. They think I've got something of value that can help them. And like, you know, as a 17-year-old boy, I'm like, this just seems like the Twilight Zone. You know, this is, are you sure? And I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I loved helping people, you know? And I knew right then and there, it didn't matter what I was going to do the rest of my life, I'd be supporting people with change. And it started with fitness, you know, and nutrition, and then eventually into mindset. And then I went all in with entrepreneurship, opened up a retail business with a business partner and a mentor. And we scaled that to 8 figures a year. Did that for 17 years, you know? So it was still fitness though. It was fitness equipment, supplements, apparel, accessories, you know, all the fun toys you get to play with when you're at a gym or at a studio, even at your home. And I loved it until I didn't. You know,
yep.
Because I myself as a business owner also realized I didn't have the harmony between work life. And you notice I said harmony, not balance. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that. Yeah. I don't believe in balance. I don't think it's attainable.
Yeah.
You know,
I agree.
Yeah. So that's sort of the little, I was going to turn it back to you because I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Cause I know that you have much to add to this too.
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that people are like, we just have to create balance. And it's like, yeah, but if you don't know A, what you want in your life, B, how can you create it? Right.
Yes.
It's really tough to create peak state of mind if you're not focused on bettering yourself. And so when I first started my personal development journey in 2016, I was like, and just reading like The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy and learning about how momentum works and how you can create it in your life. And then it sticks around, right? If you continue doing the actions that you were doing before. And I was very, very, very overweight. Now I've fluctuated a lot of weight multiple times in my life. I was 18 years old working in a camp, 21 days on, 7 days off as a pastry chef. And I was doing 45 minutes a day on the elliptical, but I had no idea what I was doing. So I kept like hurting myself, but I was working opposite shifts of everybody. So I couldn't like go to the gym with anyone else, but I was knowing that I really wanted to get into better shape. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to try and figure this out. Right. Yeah. And it wasn't like YouTube videos or anything like that to help me. It was just figuring out what felt good on my body. And then I just started dropping weight. I think I lost 100 pounds in like 6 months. And then my family was like, are you dying? Like, what is happening? And it was really frustrating because I was like, no, I'm just exercising and eating healthy and, you know, taking care of myself. And then people around me were just like, what is happening to you? Like, did you start doing drugs or, you know? And I'm like, no, you know, it felt like so frustrating. So I was just like, I just want to show people that, no, I'm serious about this. Like, I want to be in a good peak state. And I didn't want to be the person to be giving people diabetes. And like, I was crazy. So I switched cooking croissants every day to like making healthier baking options, like cutting out a lot of the sugars and stuff like that so that I could enjoy it as well, because it was like, I don't want to eat badly anymore. I don't want to have Sundays every weekend. And I don't know, it was just such a different mentality, but it helped me realize how much you can change your energy just by changing your food.
Mm.
And also like getting extra sunshine and like you said, increasing your supplements and stuff like that. And especially over the last couple of years, I've really learned how your body lacks supplements like magnesium and vitamin D. And it's like, oh, well, I lived in a place that only gets 5 hours of sunlight a day, you know? And so supplementing those things really helped me increase my energy and that kind of stuff, but also doing a 6 a.m. hot yoga class really helped too, right?
Yes.
People are like, Elena, you're crazy. I'm like, no, you don't understand how I feel when I leave that class and go and sit in the sauna and relax and read a book and, you know, just like be in my own positive mental state to go into my day. But I know that when I was 300 pounds and struggling with my mental capacity, and I was a heavy equipment operator at the time. And that's a very stagnant job, right? I was sitting for 15 hours a day from the time I went to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. I got home at 9 o'clock at night or later. And you sit by yourself for 15 hours a day and you twiddle your thumbs because you're so freaking bored and there's nothing else to do, right? So I started doing like push-ups when I was getting tired. Like I do push-ups on my haul truck in full PPE, you know, hard hat, big, huge mono goggles, stripes, you know, the steel toes, everything like that. Cause I was just like, I can't figure out why I'm so tired. Mm-hmm. And especially coming from, okay, I was fit. And then I got really obese when I was in the oil sands again. And I was like suffering with depression, severe anxiety. And I was just like, I gotta change this up. Like something's wrong here. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And I wasn't the kind of person to like ask for help in those kind of areas. Mm-hmm. So once I left site, I made that decision to go full time with my financial firm. And I was like, okay, well, let's try something new, right? So I started with Higher Health yoga, and I was just going in and doing a yoga class every morning. And then I started getting really strong, and I started connecting with my mindset and like focusing on what I need to do next, but also like giving myself the affirmation, I'm a pillar of love, and just like focusing on helping people and going out. And that changed everything for me. So I don't know. I feel like a lot of people struggle when it comes to their health, and I'm sure you see this every day. But what do you think people struggle with the most when it comes to creating that whole life balance, nutrition, fitness routine for themselves?
Well, there's a few reasons, and you know, I've heard them all. I mean, I've been doing this almost three decades now, and I'll tell you, it's at one side, it's very discouraging, because I can see the struggle, and it's very, very real. Okay. It's hard. Like change is hard. Let's just be mm-hmm. honest. Change is hard. I mean, otherwise we'd all wake up every morning saying, you know what? Woo! I'm ready for some more change today. You know, like we don't do that, do we? Like we just don't. And we're actually really quite change averse as a species, which is rightly so, you know, like we're, you know, human beings, just to be fair, we're very lazy. Okay. We're lazy. We're all about conserving energy. We have a millennia of DNA we're fighting against, mm-hmm. you know, and for the most of our millennia, our development as Homo sapiens has been spent a lot of time scavenging for food. You know, this whole idea of hunter gatherer. Yes, true. But a lot of energy is constantly expended, constantly looking for that next food source, that next meal. So we got all this in us already, but there's also something else in us, and it's called resiliency. Resiliency to overcome and to survive, especially in tough suffering conditions. And because you look at us, demographically speaking, across the world, like we got people living in very harsh situations, yet they're still thriving. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the population densities are growing. We're almost 8 billion people on this planet. It's not by accident. It's because as a species, we're very good at populating. You know, we survive and we can thrive. And it does involve change, though.
Yeah.
And so if we look at our relationship with change and how we've experienced change at various stages of our life, we'll notice that it happened whether we liked it or not. You know, like Buddha 2,500 years ago, he's like, hey, guys, guess what? what, Buddha? Hey, this whole thing called the universe, it's impermanent. You know, like nothing stays as it is. Now, in the last 100 years, science caught up to him and said, well, you know what? Buddha was right. Everything's just a bunch of empty space. It's constantly in flux energy-wise. Wow, look at that. Science and religion agreed on something, right? And yet change, if it's the only thing that we know to be absolutely certain in our lives, why are we so against it or trying to avoid it so much? Mm-hmm. And I have to commend you, Elena. I'm going to say it like multiple times just so I hammer it home. But, you know, your story is one of overcoming. But also you got to a place where you recognized it was hurting you more to not change than the idea of changing.
Big time.
And that is, unfortunately, the answer to your very simple question is that it just doesn't hurt bad enough. You know what I mean? Like we're at a place in life for most of us that we're just trying to get by each day. It, you know, and I hate using some of those cliches, but you know, we hear about the hamster wheel analogy all the time, or a treadmill that we can't get off. Like we talk about our lives in that sort of, with that kind of visualization, right? It's like, oh, I just feel like I'm trapped, you know, I can't get out of this. And we talk about stress and anxiety and the mental health weight that feels like it's crushing us. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty hard thing to try to swallow that pill and yet wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm going to go do yoga this morning. Because it's not a short-term gain. It's a long-term gain. And that's the thing about health. You know, the longer we go without putting some time and attention to our health, the further we move away from that state of being healthy. Because we're the only ones that can do it for ourselves.
Yes, that's so true.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and so there's a lot of things working against us, and especially the mindset piece. Because if we look at our own lives, most of those changes that we've experienced, especially the hard changes, which are the ones we tend to remember the most, right? We remember those hard moments or where things felt almost impossible, you know, and unwanted. Or maybe we said, you know what, that is a change I want because it sucks to be the way I am right now. And I know if I could change this one thing that life would get better and I'd think differently about myself. But how do I get started? And you know what, I've tried something like this before and I failed at it before. So realistically, do I think I can do it this time? Well, I don't know. And so it's hard. Like, and I'm not trying to paint a doom and gloom picture here, but I'm trying to paint a situation that everybody can relate to because we're all dealing with this at different levels in our lives and no one's immune to it.
I agree.
No one's immune to it, you know, but there's always a way through it. And I think if you think about your own journey and what you just shared, you know, it started with small daily commitments that you made them as non-negotiable. You know, you're like, no, I'm worth this. I know that if I move my body, I actually feel like I have more energy.
Oh yeah. Big time.
Right. Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. It's like, you mean if I expend energy, I'll actually gain more energy. Mm-hmm. And that's the weird thing about fitness, right? Intentional exercise, right? That intentional activity to see our health markers improve, you know, like being active is different than working out.
I agree.
You know? Yeah. I'm glad that you agree because I agree with that one too. And I know that a lot of people, they don't quite understand when I say that, but the gist of it is it's all about intentionality, you know, and being very intentional with where we want to go in life, but also what kind of person do I need to be and what kind of level of health do I need to enjoy that life for as long as I can? And I'll sort of close with this because I'd like to hear your thoughts, but there's this idea of health span. And health span is not to be confused with lifespan. Lifespan, we think about, is how long we're going to live. Well, health span is how long we're going to live, but being at optimal health. Mm-hmm. So that quality of life is maintained, you know, because I truly believe that longevity without vitality isn't a pursuit worth, chasing, you know, because we're also concerned about dying. And listen, that's another given, right? We know it's going to happen. But I don't want to be the guy that the day that they cure death, you know, they come up with that pill that cures death, that allows us to regenerate. I don't want to be the guy that dies the day before the pill's released, you know? So my intentionality every day is like, I want to live a long, healthy, and very fulfilled life. Mm-hmm. But we got to get clear with what does that mean? Because it sounds very cryptic, doesn't it?
It does.
You know, and so for you, I'm curious, what was the motivation? You know, like you touched on it a bit, but what's allowed you to keep going with that commitment to yourself?
I love that people are so inspired by our journeys and just going like, you make this huge transformation. I was very public about it. Like I was posting my progress pictures on my social media every day.
Good for you.
And just like, oh. I don't see the difference yet. I don't see the difference yet. And then you look 2 weeks out and you're like, oh, wow. Okay, well, I did, you know, I got some muscle tone happening there, you know, and then people were starting to notice and starting to ask me questions and starting to really dig into like, hey, what are you doing differently? And I was like, I'm just focusing on my health, you know, and then it's so different because people are like, you look really great today. And it had nothing to do with my outfit or how my hair looked or anything. It was my energy. It was the way that I was showing up in the world. And it was the way that I was just like vibrating at a higher frequency. Right. And people are drawn to that. And so that's really why I started focusing more on that aspect of my life, because I wanted to feel that way every day. And then yes, chasing this best version of yourself and chasing that best version of yourself and just going, wow, that felt really good. Right. So when I did the 75 hard program for the first time, it was like, I had never in a million years thought that I would succeed at that program, you know, drinking a gallon of water a day, reading every single day. I'd never had structure or routine or anything like that. Yeah. So just being able to complete that program was like legendary for me. I failed multiple times, and I've done the program three times fully now. I completed Live Hard in the hardest year of my life. I had two miscarriages during the Live Hard program, but you know what? When I finished it, I was like, I'm taking my power back, you know?
Yes.
I don't want to give that away, you know? I was feeling really low and frustrated with what's happening, but I was like, I can't control that. But what I can control is how I react to this situation.
Yes.
You know? Absolutely. So I wanted to feel good again. I wanted to feel alive and like rejuvenated instead of sitting there going, just so sad all the time. And like, I just don't want to put that out to my team. I don't want to, you know, like bring them down and like be this Debbie Downer who's just like, my life sucks. Well, guess what? My life is great, you know? And so I'm like, why would I sit there and complain? Because I'm drinking a beer and eating pizza and just like feeling like shit all the time. And then I'm like, oh, well, what am I doing to self-sabotage? You know, what am I doing to help myself up that energy level again and get myself feeling better again? And then it was just that realization that I really need to focus on my fitness again. And so I didn't realize that I had fallen off of that because I was still going for walks and stuff every day with my dog. And then I was like, yeah, but I'm not exerting that energy and like feeling that, like that intense version of myself, like I did when I was lifting weights or when I was training for the marathon and, you know, doing hot yoga classes and stuff like that. But that was me being able to chase that next version of myself and realizing that you have to let go of the person you used to be in order to become the person that you want to be, was a big realization for me. And I just wanted to be that best version because I know what I'm capable of and I've seen it. And I'm like, I want to be that person again, you know, like feel that way where I was just like, let's go. Like, I wanted to take on the world and I was unstoppable. You know, I would wake up at 5 o'clock. My alarm was like 10 minutes out, you know, I'm like, yeah, I got this. And now it's like, I wake up and I'm like joyful, you know, and like excited for the day. And I'm not like dreading going to work. I'm like excited to go to work and I'm excited to change people's lives and I'm excited to show up in a just more positive manner. And so it really helped me go, okay, well, fitness needs to be part of my regular routine, whatever that looks like. I threw my back out for 3 weeks in the beginning of my pregnancy and I couldn't barely walk. But you know what? I still did 15 minutes, you know, I'd still do some stretches. I'd still do something to get my body moving because if I didn't, I'd just sit there and watch Netflix all day and be sad, you know, because I was like, this sucks. But when you get
alone with that, not alone. I mean, it's that you are describing the plight that most of us deal with. Yeah. At some stage or not. And I was actually just thinking it might be helpful before we finish today that there's because I think what people are probably picking up on right now is that you and I are on the other side of that fence now. Mm-hmm. Like we've drank the Kool-Aid. All right. We're all in on this lifestyle now because we have connected emotionally, spiritually, physically, you know, psychologically to the motivations of why we do this. And it's become actually more than just why we do it. It's just what we do. It's who we are. But I know there's people out there, and because this is the majority of people I tend to speak to initially, at least when they are starting their journey, is how do you get started?
Yeah.
What's the best way to begin this process so you can see the fence there and get over it? Because all you want to do is at least get over it so you can straddle it so you can have a little bit of experience of what it's like to be on the other side. Because believe me, once you're there, you're not going to want to go back.
No.
And I can tell you that's where you're at.
Yeah. You can't go back. You're like, no. That needs to stay over there. Like,
it's exactly right.
Feel that way anymore. Right.
Yeah. But it's also, you have that self-belief and self-confidence, but also you have the clarity on what to do to maintain where you're at. But also you have this confidence in the ability to change certain elements of your life based on the actions you take, but you have the confidence because you've done it. You know, you've been able to experience it. And there's change is just a process, right? Like it's obviously it involves some sort of actions. And it's usually actions we haven't done before. Otherwise, we have already had the goal that we were looking for. So it involves us doing something different or maybe having to learn something new. And the best way to figure this out is everything that we're talking about today involves change. It does. It involves, we want to change a certain situation or an aspect of our life, an aspect of our professional life. Like either way, there's something that's holding us back and limiting our ability to experience the greatest amount of fulfillment, joy, and happiness of life. So here's three questions that you want to ask yourself if you're feeling that way. First thing is you have to figure out what is that thing that you want to change. And you have to ask yourself, can I do this? You know, like as a morbidly obese teenager at age 15, I'm looking in the mirror, sobbing my eyes out, hating the person looking back at me. And I'm like, I want to get healthy. But deep down, I was like, I kept asking myself, can I actually get healthy? Is that even possible? Like that was how I felt. I felt like I was just at a loss because I believed if I was going to be healthy, I should have already done it.
Right.
And so feeling very disconnected with who I was and that person that looking back at me, I was like, I don't even know who you are. You know, this is not who I envisioned myself being at 15 years old. And by asking that question, can I do this? It will shine a bright light in the gaps, knowledge gaps specifically that we have as human beings, because you'll recognize it's usually lack of knowledge that holds us from taking action. Right. So you ask yourself, can I do this? And it's going to identify like, geez, I don't know. I can't answer yes or no to that because I have to learn more. Mm-hmm. Great. We can learn more. You know, you can learn quite well. Maybe you have to hire somebody. Maybe you have to contract somebody to support you with some of these changes. You know, maybe you have to go do some research. But either way, you got to get to a place where you can confidently say, yeah, I think I can do this. Because as soon as you get a yes on question one, now you got to go to question two. If I actually do this, is it going to work? Right? If I start exercising every day and if I change how I'm eating, will I actually see my life get better? The neat thing is today, unlike, you know, I did this back in the mid 80s without the internet, without all those extra resources, where today we have endless access to information and people and communities. And we can see social proof of people that have done something similar to what we want to do. And maybe they've already provided a process whereby we can emulate what they've done. Or we can try what they've done, or just the fact to see that, wow, somebody else was able to make it to the top of the hill. I mean, you think about who's Roger Bannister? Roger Bannister is the guy that ran the first sub four minute mile. Everybody kept trying and trying and trying. They said it was impossible. He cracked it. He did a sub 4 minute mile. You know what happened? Within 60 days, somebody else did it. Within that year, a handful of guys had done it. And it was like, as soon as it was one person did it, everybody was like, oh, I think I could do that too now. You know, like, because all of a sudden the belief system, that barrier just fell down. And so this idea of if I do this, will it work? If you don't have that self-confidence yet, look for people that are wonderful examples of people that have started in a similar situation to you that have already achieved the result. Now you can honestly say, well, if they did it, I think I can do it too. Mm-hmm. So we've got yes and yes. Now's question three. Is it worth it? Now, if I'm doing a keynote and I'm talking to a big organization or a group or a team, I can use the term it. But for the sake of today's conversation, everybody listening and watching this, you have to look in the mirror when you ask this question. You have to look yourself dead in the eyes and say, am I worth it? Am I worth the change? That is the hardest question out of the three. Because it's going to also have you get very honest with yourself. You got to get vulnerable with yourself. You have to be able to say, you know, yeah, I'm worth the change. But I'll tell you, at 15, I didn't believe I was worth it. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel I had a lot of value to offer. I had very low self-opinion myself. So there's a secondary question, if you're similar to how I felt back then, is who do I need to get around to help me with this change?
Yes, big time.
Because if you can't honestly look in the mirror and say, yeah, I'm worth this, which most of us don't have that expectation, you know, right out of the gate, we don't feel that way about ourselves, but we can find like-minded individuals that are experiencing similar change that have got, you know, started in that same place when they looked in the mirror, felt the same way. You get around a group like that, they are going to uplift you. They are going to support you. And most importantly, you in turn are going to support them. Next to gratitude, this is one of the quickest ways to combat anxiety and depression is helping others. It's scientifically proven over and over and over again. And anybody who's been out there that's done something nice for somebody else, we sometimes wonder, it's like, man, did I do that for them or did I do it for me? You know, and there's a reason, because both people benefit, you know? And so those are the questions we want to get clear on, because when you get clear, you'll feel confident. When you feel confident, you take more action and you procrastinate less.
big time. Especially when you've got those support systems around you, right?
Yes.
Like for me, when I went to yoga, it was, I know you're going to show up every day. I might be the only person in that class at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, but then they're like, thank you for showing up. I didn't want to, you know, just go home.
Yes. And
that really held me accountable to be like, hey, I got to show up for my trainer. You know, I got to show up for the person who's there to teach me and there to help me. Because yes, they're getting paid to do this, but at the same time, they want to see me grow. They want to be there a part of my journey because that's what gives them fulfillment. And so it really helped me hold myself way more accountable when it wasn't just me doing it, right?
Yes.
And same with my team. Like when I went into the office after that, I was like ready to go, right? And then I was watching the people around me over the first year of my journey. I saw Greg lose 75 pounds. I saw Crystal lose a bunch of weight. I saw, you know, like I was just able to watch these people transitioning their own lives because of the choices that I was making. And they were like, hey, yeah, you're doing it. We can do it too.
Yes. Right? Yes.
It just becomes that compound effect, that vibration that you're putting out into the world that you're able to then duplicate. Right. I think that's
powerful.
Important.
It's powerful, you know, and the nice thing is change doesn't take long. At least the mindset of change, I should say, doesn't take long. It doesn't take long to shift that perspective and relationship to change. And when we go at it from a more proactive approach, like I want to be a champion of change for myself. I want to be an advocate for change, you know, especially if it's in an area that I know not only makes me better, meaning that it's aligning more with my values. I feel more fulfilled, more happy. You know, I'm experiencing more joy every day. But most importantly, I see how I'm also affecting all those around me.
Mm-hmm.
I see how my family is, you know, I see how my communities are, I see how my clients are, you know, like it's just, that's the piece that keeps me doing it, you know, because it's not just me anymore. It's everybody. And if everybody elevates a little bit higher, as the old adage goes, you know, a rising tide raises all ships. Well, this is a perfect example of that. You know, and sometimes somebody's just got to go first, you know, there's people out there that might be listening to this and like, well, geez, all my friends do exactly what I do, which is nothing. We sit around, we eat chips, we complain about our health, you know, complain about our work, complain about our spouses, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I don't have anybody that just does what you're talking about. It's like, well, maybe you just gotta be the one to go first.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you got to break the paradigm and then that gives everybody else the inspiration that they can do it too.
Yeah.
Or you just go find a like-minded community of other people out there and you just have to create a new association.
Yeah. You
know? And I've had to do that a couple of times in my life too. And I know it's not always pleasant, but it was worthwhile, you know?
Yeah. I recruited one guy to my team and he was like six-pack abs, you know, like just a natural born leader. And I was like, I need to be a better leader of my own self in order to be a leader to this person. You know, because I was sitting there looking at this person like, I can't coach that guy, you know, like, how am I supposed to coach that person? He's an athlete. He's like, good to go. And I'm just sitting there doubting myself, looking at my leadership skills going, I don't have what he's got, you know. And so I was listening to an Ed Milet podcast and he said, maybe you just have to improve your own leadership abilities and believe in yourself because you don't know what you've got that they're looking for.
Yes.
Right? And so having that collaboration, that partnership, that teamwork, it helped me a lot. And then it was like, hey, I learned how to do this yoga move today. And then they're like, yeah, like, look at you go. You've got that balance, right? And then instead of like falling over when I was trying to do a pose, it was like, I'm getting strong now. And then we were cheering each other on. Like, it was so cool to just be able to view myself as someone who is in that process of change and is growing and learning and just wondering what's next. You know, I thought that was really important because you don't know what the best version of yourself looks like. Mm-hmm. Who knows if you're ever going to accomplish that best version of yourself, but that's why it's the pursuit, you know, the pursuit of being that relentless version of yourself and just continuing to push yourself and grow that makes it so worth it because then you're inspiring everybody around you to change as well and like have that healthier lifestyle. And like when you make good choices with your food, when you make good choices with your mindsets, you can help people shift their mentalities as well. And I think that's a huge part of why I do what I do as well, because it was like, well, everyone has this terrible mindset around money. I'm like, well, I used to be $100,000 in debt. And I got out of it, you know, so like, if I can do it, you can do it. Right.
Yes, and just absolutely.
Helping people get to that point in their life where they're proud of themselves and they're able to dream again, instead of like, I just want to be comfortable. That just makes me want to punch someone in the face. And I don't, because I have learned to not be so aggressive, but I'm like, what does that mean? You know, learning to ask better questions. Like, I love that you gave some questions to ask, because it's self-analyzation. When you're going through those questions with yourself, am I worth it? Hmm. Right? Yeah, I'm worth it. Right? And then when you can accept that, you can change instantly, because that's the moment that you're like, all right, I'm going to go for a walk.
Yes.
10 minutes, whatever. Do something. You're going to do something different. And for me, it was learning to schedule my time, you know, and like scheduling it in, because if I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And it just became like chaos. And so that was a big thing for me, was learning to schedule my workouts and my meal prep and stuff like that. So yeah, it was really incredible. But we've only got a couple more minutes, so I want people to make sure they get access to you. So where can people find you, and what success tips could you give someone who is on that verge of like making that big decision for themselves to take their health a lot more seriously? Because we don't want to be crippled 50-year-olds. Yeah. You know, like, we want to live long, healthy lives. So what is that advice?
Well, the simplest thing to do is, or to share, I think, right now, is that you're always more capable of change than you probably give yourself credit. And I want people really to take that to heart. Like, I think we're very quick to limit ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And just take the limit off. You know, take the limiter off. You know, like, if you've ever been in a golf cart or a go-kart, they have these little things that control the speed of which you can go. Well, there's a little hack you can do, and you can get more speed out of those things, right? You disable those little limiters. Well, figure out what's limiting you right now. What's holding you back? Like, get really honest with yourself. Because I'm sure there's like one habit in particular, right, that is causing either regression back to a state that we're not wanting to be, or it's just holding us back from following through with the things that we've acknowledged are important to us. Because if you can just, you know, reduce the frequency of that habit, you'll start to see some positive changes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like that, because this is this idea around start, stop, continue. Figure out one habit you want to start doing and start doing that consistently. One of my favorites to ask people to do is drink a couple liters of water a day and go for 30 minutes of an outdoor walk. That's it. Like, that's it. It's super simple, really easy to do. Make that your starting habit. Now you have to address, what are you going to stop doing? There's one thing that you know is holding you back. Maybe it's late night chips, right? I eat chips at 9-10 o'clock at night, you know, right before bed. I eat like half a bag of chips, and I do that almost every day. Okay, let's stop that one thing. So now you got one new thing to start, one new thing to stop. And then address, because I know everybody out there does one thing and they do it really well. Continue doing that one thing that does well for you. You know, so it's not about changing everything. It's about just addressing the first few steps. One's going to be a new one to start. One's going to be one that you stop. And one is one that you'll continue doing. And just create some consistency around that and watch out. Like, don't expect everything to change overnight, but trust in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because change is possible as soon as you decide for it to be possible.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, it's just a wonderful thing, because I know everyone's capable of this. Everybody. I don't care who you are, what your background is, what your socioeconomic background, like, it does not matter. You are capable of change, and you are worth it. You are. And so that's it. You know, that's all I want to leave with people. And if you need some help with this stuff, I've got lots of free resources around on my website, diamondwell.com, or connect with me on social. It's just my name. Di Manuel, DaiManuel. If you can type that in online, you'll find me. Trust me. And I have a new podcast called The 2% Solution, which is all about best actionable items you can do in 30 minutes or less per day to see positive change in your life. So feel free to check that out too.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I loved this conversation. You're such high energy and just feeding everyone those good vibrations, and that's much appreciated. So make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast if you want to get more information like this, but also go and reach out and make sure that you do programs like this for yourself and get help and, you know, be accountable to somebody. If you need a coach, he's going to be a good coach. You can tell already from this podcast, right? So just do something different today that is going to help you go towards that version of yourself that you're chasing. And yeah, share it with a friend if you got value out of today's episode, because we don't advertise. We don't try and, you know, push a bunch of random content for you. We just want people to grow and be their best selves and do it with a friend. So that being said, until next time, that's Pursuit of Relentless signing out.